is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is T.K. Griffith, boys head varsity basketball coach at Archbishop Hopman High School, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
It's not what the assistant coach knows, not what the head coach knows, not what I know as a video guy. It's about what the players retain and what they can execute, and that's the goal, right?
Robbie Lehman is the content manager for Fast Model Sports, which proudly makes the best tools for basketball coaches in Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Robbie focuses on supporting and elevating the coaching community through creating engaging content for all Fast Model Sports channels, such as the Playbank, blog, Twitter, YouTube, email newsletter, and more. He also manages Team Fast Model, a passionate group of coach contributors that regularly produce content for the Playbank and blog. Before Fast Model, Robbie was on the coaching staffs at the University of Iowa and Drake University men's basketball teams as video coordinator, and he also interned with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers and Impact Basketball. Robbie currently lives in Chicago, where he works with clients as a freelancer in digital marketing while continuing to coach and train youth athletes. If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Our roster of shows is growing, so don't forget to check out all our other podcasts on the Hoopheads Pod Network, including Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, The Green Light, Courtside Culture, and our team-focused NBA podcasts, Cavaliers Central, Knuck If You Buck, 305 Culture, Hashtag Lakers, Motor City Hoops, X's and O's NBA Breakdown, Spanning the Spurs, LA Hoops, The Wizards Hoops Analyst, and At the Buzzer. We're looking for more NBA podcasters interested in hosting their own show centered on a particular team. Email us at info@hoopheadspod.com if you're interested in learning more and bringing your talent to our network. Write down some coaching nuggets as you listen to this episode with Robbie Lehman, content manager for Fast Model Sports. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Lensing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are pleased to welcome to the podcast from Fast Model Sports, Robbie Lehman, content manager. Robbie, welcome to the Hoopheads pod.
Appreciate it, Mike and Jason. Happy to be here. Excited to see where this thing goes.
We are excited to have you on, not only to learn more about your journey, but also to give you an opportunity to share with our coaches out there how Fast Model can help them to improve their coaching, which is one of the missions that we have here on the Hoopheads pod, is to be able to give coaches
things, tools, ideas, nuggets that can help make them more successful in what they do day in and day out. So we thought we'd start off by giving you an opportunity to just give us a high-level overview of what FAST Model is all about so that our coaches who are listening as part of our audience have an idea, although many of them I'm sure already do, but just give them an idea of what FAST Model can do and how it can help them to improve their coaching.
First off, I love the word, the use of the word nuggets, man. I wasn't sure if I was the only one out there, but, and also one of the first of many name drops, but that's a Jeff Rutter saying, a guy I worked with, that maybe some of your listeners will be familiar with, but that was his thing, man. We would share nuggets all day long.
Nice.
Yeah. FAST Model, man. It's been a fun journey. I've been with the company for around 5 years now, but, you know, there's nothing too technical to say other than we're all about helping coaches as well. Now, we're in the software business. We have a couple products. FAST Draw is what coaches will be most familiar with. If you're a coach out there diagramming plays on paper, time to get on board. We have FAST Scout as well. So that's a scouting report program that coaches can use to automate some of that type of thing, that stuff, and put personnel reports together, and stats and things like that. As the company's grown, a couple more products, FAST Access and FAST Recruit, as we expand into some more areas of the coaching and just, you know, sports industry, and college athletic departments as well. But really, you know, my job as content manager is just to help coaches get better as well. And at the end of the day, we're selling software, but we're doing more than that. And we're trying to grow the profession, grow the business in the industry. And, you know, it's the relationship business. You guys know that.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. As you build up your network, you get in contact with more and more people. They see the things that you're doing and they tell somebody else about them. And that's really how you grow and how you have influence on what people are doing. And I think that you guys there at FAST Model are doing a great job of that, of providing tools for coaches, and not just the tools that you're selling as a business, but there's also things that you provide to coaches that they can access that can help make them better all across the spectrum. So we'll get into that. We'll dive into that a little bit deeper as we go through the podcast tonight. But we're going to start by learning a little bit more about you, Robbie, and going back in time to when you were a kid. So talk to us a little bit about how you got into the game of basketball when you were younger and what you remember about maybe your first experiences with the game.
Oh, man. How early do we want to start? I mean,
let's go way back.
Yeah. Wasn't prepared to talk that far back, but I mean, you know, it's in the blood, man. It's my family. I'm from Iowa City, Iowa, and my dad, he grew up playing ball, you know, on a farm with a hoop in his barn. You know, my mom's from Des Moines, Iowa. My grandfather played basketball at the University of Iowa. You know, I actually got a picture of him right here in the office. So, you know, the shorts were a little higher then, although those are kind of making a comeback.
A little bit. Strange to see, but yeah, they are making a comeback.
I don't know if I'd want to play in those Chucks, though. I can't imagine how that even happened.
I played in those in my driveway. I never played with them in a game, but I grew up in the – I was born in 1970, so when I was – 7-8 years old, I was wearing Chuck Taylors while I was shooting baskets.
He was wearing Chuck Taylors with those high shorts, baby. That's what he was doing. He was rocking them.
Trust me, I had the high shorts. I'll give you guys, I don't know, maybe I've told this story. I don't know it's not really even a story, but when I was a freshman at Kent State, my first year, and I played maybe like 6 minutes a game, and we had these shorts that were seriously, I don't know, the inseam was maybe like 1 inch, and they had belts. This was 1988. Now, we were way behind the times.
Stop
I mean, don't get me wrong. In 1988, most teams had already converted from the John Stockton belt shorts, but we had not. So you'd sit on the bench during these games, and I only played like 6 minutes a game, and you'd be so uncomfortable because these shorts were just completely riding up on you. And I'll say it one more time. They had belts. So.
Oh, my God. Hey, I'm prepared to talk about you know, technology advances, but we can talk about uniform changes, man. That's wild.
Well, I had a guy, I forget where I read this, but somebody said, this might have been Rob Brost's Twitter, who Rob Bros is the coach at Bolingbrook High School in Illinois, and he was one of our first guests on the podcast. I think it was him. He said he had a little quote on his Twitter. It said, I think it said like 2005, "Hey, coach, I know I'm a small, but I need a double XL uniform." You know, not whatever, 2005. And then 2021, "Hey, coach, I know I'm a double XL, but I need a small uniform."
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so true. It's just seriously funny to see the iterations of how uniforms have changed.
Seriously. No, well, to go back to Grandpa here, and his name was Bob Schultz, by the way, and he likes to take credit for wearing number 23 before Jordan or LeBron. So, but man, my grandpa would take me to the old field house in Iowa City. And I just remember, you know, doing the form shooting and all that stuff from back in the day. And, I mean, not much else to say other than just falling in love with the game there. And, you know, when you're a kid, you always want to talk back and you don't understand why you're doing this stuff. But, you know, I wasn't blessed with speed or quickness or too much athleticism, but I'll tell you what, I can shoot it. And I know it goes back to all those reps from the early days.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's no doubt that when you think about how you get to be a good player, the earlier you start and the more reps you get in, that's something that cannot be replaced. And I'm going to share another story that TK Griffith, who he is the coach at Archbishop Hoban High School here in the state of Ohio, and he told the story on the podcast about a guy named Dave Jamerson, who grew up in Stowe, Ohio, played at Ohio U, and he was at OU when I was at Kent. And I think he had, I want to say his total, I want to say he had 48 points against me. And when he was a senior maybe and I was a sophomore. But anyway, I've never had anybody shoot the ball like that against me. He was the 14th overall pick for the Houston Rockets. And he had already had a knee injury during his college career. And then he got hurt when he got to the NBA. And he was out of the league after 3 years. But if he was around today and he'd been healthy, the way this guy could shoot it, he was incredible. But he was, there was a guy walking through the gym one time who was his teammate, another guy that I knew named Steve Barnes. And Jamerson was in there working out. And Steve said to Jamerson, he's like, "Hey, man, I want to shoot like you one day, man. What are you going to do?" And Jamerson just turned to him and said, "You're a million shots behind, dude. You're a million shots behind." Mm-hmm. And it's so true that, you know, you always tell kids that, you know, you want to be better. The best day to start getting better is today. You know, you can wait a week, you can wait 2 weeks, but if you want to get better, the best time to start is today. So I can totally relate to you talking about how reps made you into the player that you were.
No doubt. And I think that'll translate to a lot of the stuff we're going to get into here when we get into coaching stuff. I mean, it's just the preparation. But yeah, let me zip through some of these other things quick, just because it's not going to be that super interesting. But you know, coached a little bit of junior high in Iowa City, you know, as I went through college. And I was a journalism major at Iowa and really thought I was going to be a sports writer. You know, writing's kind of another passion of mine and just telling stories and that kind of thing. But tough to find a job out of college. And my uncle, Kevin Lehman, he does a little bit of broadcasting now, but he was a coach at UNI for a while. That's Northern Iowa. And there was a head coach at Nebraska Omaha as well. But, you know, he had this connection to Nick Nurse. Now, this was back when Nick Nurse was in the D-League. And so hooks it up, tells me to go down to South Texas and be a video coordinator for him. So this is the Rio Grande Valley Vipers at the time. And they're the affiliate of Houston Rockets. Now, more common right now that these teams all have the one-to-one affiliate, but at that time, this was 2011, you know, a lot of teams had multiple affiliates and whatnot, so they were kind of on the cutting edge and really used their D-League team to, you know, test things out and send coaches back and forth and really, and players as well, and develop staff and players. So, you know, cool experience. I don't know if you guys know anything about Texas geography, but McAllen, Texas is about 15 miles from the Mexican border. So it's not Dallas. It's not even San Antonio. You're talking 4 more hours south.
I bet you it's covered in snow right now.
Dude, crazy. But I'll tell you, that was the best, you know, warmest Christmas I ever had. And my only Christmas, or, you know, winter outside of, the Midwest. So, definitely weird when you see like, you know, Christmas lights on houses, but it's like you're in shorts.
75 degrees, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, threw me off. And you know, one of the first times being away from family for the holidays too, and that was kind of my first taste of the business. And, you know, that was tough, but it got easier. And, you know, as I took some next steps, you know, kept missing holidays. And one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing now with Fast Model, but I actually skipped over one other thing. I did a quick little, I don't know what to call it, but an internship in Las Vegas for Impact. I don't know if you guys know that business at all, but they train pros out there. And that was a fun 3 months. Packed my bags and told my parents I was going to Vegas for an internship. But man, I was training guys like Rudy Gay, Kyle Lowry, John Wall was out there. And this was actually during the lockout summer too. So it was kind of crazy because the guys stayed even longer and these pros were out there all summer and just kind of rebounding, passing to them and getting their shots up and some workouts, and kind of a cool way to get myself in the business as like a 23-year-old. You guys ever heard of Impact?
Yeah, that's Joe Abunasar,
yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And so I know that he started out and, you know, gradually, I forget who was Paul Pierce his first guy?
I think it was KG.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know then he built that business out there in Vegas, mm-hmm. and that he still gets a lot of pro guys that, you know, that come out and work with them. And I think he's expanded at least one other location since, you know, since then. He may even be in other places. But yeah, I think that player development piece of it, what'd you learn from working with those guys just in terms of sort of their mindset and how they went about their business?
Great question. Now, like I said, I'm a 23-year-old and this is like my first deal, right? And I didn't want to screw up. And something that, again, I think we can weave in and out of as we talk about this stuff is, if I were to tell that person, that kid, some advice, it was don't be as scared to like ask questions and maybe cross the boundaries a little bit. You know, I kind of just, I had heard advice, you know, from my day one there of like, hey, you know, you do your thing, you rebound, you pass, you get these guys water if they need it or whatever. You know what I'm trying to say? And I didn't want to screw up or cross any lines or whatever, but I still learned a heck of a ton. And just watching Joe work those guys out. And again, it's a lot of it's just reps. It's just going through the motions for them. But
when you're in that kind of environment, this is something that I think is interesting for people who maybe don't always have a window on what a pro player's workout looks like, or what some of these high level trainers that you hear about, what that looks like. And if you compare that to, let's say, just a local trainer who's working with high school players, how does the sophistication of the drills, for lack of a better way of saying it, compare? In other words, is it more about just the fact that, hey, we're working with pro guys, they have a certain thing that they need to be able to do and we're working on it? Or is it, how fancy are the drills, I guess, is the question that I'm asking, compared to what you might see from a local trainer who's just working with high school players? So just what's that workout look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not to discredit Joe or any of those guys that worked there, but I guess one of my things was maybe that's the talent of it all, is they weren't that fancy, you know?
Yeah.
They were basic. And also that just goes to the level of the guys that are out there now. And it is their summer, it's their off season. And depending on, you know, if this guy's an all-star, if he's a vet or whatever, like it's going to look a little different than some of the rookies. And I did see both sides of that. So some of those new guys that are coming out that are rookies or they're just drafted and still trying to make their way and make their name and get minutes. Yeah. They're doing some things a little differently. And a little bit more complicated. Some of those vets will come and it's just staying sharp, right? Staying sharp, staying healthy, you know, even going to a lot of stuff off the court of just the right strength work, the right stretching, getting a massage or whatever it might be. But, and I wish I had a better answer too, because man, this has been about 9 or 10 years ago. So,
I think that's a perfect answer.
Yeah.
I think it's a perfect answer, because I guess what I was trying to get at is, you know, you hear these stories or you have this vision, I think some people do, of, man, these pro players, they got to be working on all this fancy stuff. But the reality is, even if you're an NBA player, you're still working on the basics. You're still working on footwork. Mm-hmm. You're still working on your jump shot. You're still working on making a move to a counter move or whatever it might be. And it's still relatively simple stuff. It's just a matter of repetition. I know that we've had Alan Stein on a podcast, on our podcast a couple times, and he's talked about how he went and watched Kobe's workout, and basically he was doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And Alan's mantra is always, you know, you can't get bored with the basics. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes people have this vision of NBA players doing all this fancy stuff and working on this and that, and, you know, all kinds of crazily designed drills. But the reality is that it's not like that. It's working on basic things, things that they're going to do in games. And that's where you need to rep it. As you said, it's the reps that count, whether you're a kid growing up in Iowa or you're an NBA player. It's mm-hmm. it's those reps that are what make you into a player.
Yeah, and that stuff needs to be automatic at that level. Like if we're talking catch and shoot, I mean, that's what they're doing. And every spot on the floor, catch and shoot, one dribble, you know, those type of things, those just need to be automatic at the top level of the game. So a lot of it was that.
Did you have any thought of staying in the player development business after you got done with the internship at Impact?
Yeah, actually I did. To be honest, I am struggling a little bit to recall some of the stuff and to talk about it now, because I just don't get in the gym that much now. And part of that's this year in general, but being in the, you know, the tech business like I am now. But I did. I really liked that part of it. And that brings, you know, sort of to the next part of my journey, was I like being on the court with guys like that and with players, and helping guys get better and helping them see the footwork and see what type of play to make and how to finish and things like that. I never got into some of the other stuff about coaching. And then when I took my next step, which was finishing that season with the Vipers in Texas and driving back up to Iowa and getting on board at the University of Iowa as a video coordinator, that's when I got into this tech side. And, you know, it's the way for these young coaches in this generation to get involved and get on staff. And, you know, guys like Fran McCaffrey, who I worked for, and people on his staff, they're not, you know, they didn't grow up with video. I mean, Fran doesn't even have a computer in his office. So when I'm doing video for him, I have to bring it in and set it up and pause it and play it and go and rewind for him and the staff in there. But that was when I saw that next piece of what coaching was and all the preparation that goes into that side of things. And from that point, you know, I wasn't actually even allowed to be on the floor with guys. So that was a little unfortunate, but man, posted up in that video room, and I started working with Fast Model Technology. I started working with Synergy and Sports Code and these things that are pretty much synonymous now with any level of the game, actually, even going down to the high school level at this point.
Did you have any experience with any of that technology before you got to the D-League?
Not really. The only thing that actually helped me was being that journalism major at Iowa. I wrote for the student newspaper, and what they were actually pushing at the time was for us to shoot video as well. So when I would go to the, you know, I was covering like a lot of the sports like soccer and tennis and things like that. So I'd go and I'd interview the players and write my piece, but I would also take this little handy cam and, you know, interview them on camera too. And we were required to just edit like a 2-minute video to go with these articles for the student newspaper, for the website. So just using, I think it was like Final Cut Pro at that time. And I haven't heard anyone talk about that in a while. That might be for more super technical stuff, but just the basics. And it's more like the mental understanding, right? Of like, I'm going to cut a video here, end it here, you know, and whatnot. So that helped me a little bit in terms of just like the editing experience.
What was the learning curve like So when you get on and you're trying to figure out how to use Synergy, or you're trying to use Fast Model back at that time, is somebody sitting with you and walking you through, here's how you do it? Or is it pretty much you lock yourself in the room, you just start playing around and trying to figure it out for yourself?
Yeah, you know what? It's a little more of the latter than you'd like to admit. And it's something that it's almost like a rite of passage, though, you know. You kind of got to go through those. You kind of got to do that on your own and without anyone's help, and to earn that sort of that badge, right? And I'll tell you one thing. I made good friends with those customer support folks at all those companies we just mentioned, you know.
Absolutely.
And it relates to another thing that, you know, in this business, it's all networking and it's all relationships. So I can even shout out a couple of guys from Synergy, Billy Peters and Matt Curley. These are guys that I was on the phone with early on, just asking for help. And, you know, they kind of taught me some of these things. But, yeah, and then going to Fast Model, that was the first time I had experience using that program, was at Iowa. And so got into that and started putting our scouting reports together. And that's what I loved about it. You know, I wasn't on the floor, so I really embraced that aspect. And, man, it seems like, first of all, a long time ago, second of all, with this year, just not seeing anybody in person, like, it makes me miss those days of just going down the hall, walking into Kirk Spiro's office, an assistant in Iowa, you know, and just putting together a game plan for Nebraska or Penn State or whoever, you know, and him giving me the notes, and I'll type them all up in the program. And, you know, yeah, it's just fun, man. Gosh, I missed that this year.
Talk to us a little bit about what the process was like that year you were at Iowa for putting together a scouting report. So let's say you're about to play Ohio State. What does it look like, you guys getting your team ready to play Ohio State? What was your role? And then what does it look like putting that scouting report together?
Yeah, for sure. So most staffs are going to split up the games. And it just depends on maybe who had a team in the past last year. And hopefully you have it set up where nobody's having back-to-back scouts, right? So you're hoping they don't have too much work to do in 1 week. But, you know, if Coach Spiro has taken Michigan State or someone he's really familiar with, you know, we're already looking ahead. And that's the thing people might not realize on the outside, whether either you're a fan or a younger coach at the high school level or something. But, you know, we're talking about the next game, you know, days ahead. And usually you're going to what we would call introduce an opponent 2 days before. So if you're playing on Saturday, Thursday at practice, we're going to introduce that opponent. And now to back up even more, we're already getting that scout ready. You know, I'm in Fast Model. I'm typing up all the notes from Coach Spiro as he's watching the last probably five games that, you know, that team has played. And we're doing personnel. Obviously that's important. We're doing different statistics. And that's what the Fast Model program makes it super easy, because that stuff's all automated from the data that we get. So you can just build your tables, build your charts if you want, three-point shooters, free throw shooters, you know, field goal, whatever, rebounds, all those things, and just kind of build your report and customize it to what's important for your program. And then the fast draw aspect actually, you know, populates right into Fast Scout too. So you can put those plays or a full playbook right into your report. We're printing those off and, you know, putting those on the players in their lockers or their chairs in the film room. And, yeah, they're going to follow along, introduce the opponent along with the video clips, which we've also put together. So, you know, every staff is different and every head coach is different, and just kind of depends what their style is. And I've been in some long scouting sessions and introduction sessions, but some like to keep it short and sweet and give kids less to think about and worry about yourself, you know. And that's what fascinates me about this business, man. You can have all these different philosophies and no one's wrong or right, you know. It's just a matter of what your style is and what you think the kids can and the players can handle.
Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit SnapRaise.com, and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time.
How much at Iowa, obviously, if you're watching, you know, the staff's watching the previous five games that the team played, you're obviously not sharing all that with the players, that same amount. So when you're pulling out clips, how much of that film that the coaches are watching is eventually end up being shared with players? And then what was the focus of the clips that you did pulling out? In other words, how much of it was personnel? How much of it was, okay, here's some specific actions we got to look for. Here's a baseline out of bounds play that they're really good at, that they look to score out of. So just give us an idea of what ultimately, how you pared it down, what the coaches were watching into what the players were going to see and what you were going to try to help them to absorb.
For sure. As a guy who's creating a lot of that stuff, you know, you hate to see when it kind of goes or gets skipped over, but you know, that's how it rolls. And it's just kind of that, the flow from the assistant who's literally consuming everything to him editing it down and with me editing it down and trimming it and then presenting to the players. I mean, there's times where the head coach might say, okay, that's good. You know, we might be on clip five of 10 for their point guard or something. And he's like, all right, let's go. And he wants to move it on. So that happens. But you just want to give a good enough sense of the personnel for sure. And then, you know, their main offense, main defense, some of those special situations, like you said. So, you know, it's not rocket science, even though sometimes we want to make it that way and make everything complex. But at the end of the day too, it's not what the assistant coach knows, not what the head coach knows, not what I know as the, the video guy. It's about what the players retain and what they can execute. And that's the goal, right? So again, I'm always fascinated to hear all these perspectives of coaches from different levels, and what works for them. And continuing to evolve this scouting process, especially with this technology that we have.
Based on what you've seen, if you were trying to prepare a team as a head coach, how much video would you have your team watching in order to prepare for an opponent? That may be an unfair question, but just kind of ballpark it. Would you be a guy who would want to have them watch more, or would you want it to be short and sweet? Hey, let's hit on a couple main points and move on.
Man, I'd like to think I was short and sweet kind of guy, but it can always tend to creep up there, you know, and especially for those bigger games. I have a tendency to want to just throw everything out there and then try to trim it from there. And you always have a hard time trimming stuff down. But, I think even with attention spans these days, you know, and I know even myself, you know, I'm looking at a 10-minute YouTube clip and sometimes you're like, maybe I don't have time for that or whatever. So you want to make sure these guys retain it. And the thing is, a lot of these college guys are watching at the college level. They're watching these other teams anyways, right? If players at Iowa, like, they're going to pull on ESPN on a Wednesday night and watch, you know, Michigan State play or whatever. So they're familiar. And then especially you got to think about the second time around too, which is always the fun part. Is making those adjustments now, whether you win or lost, what worked, what didn't. And what's nice about Fast Model again is that stuff's saved in there for you. You don't got to go dig up your notes or anything. You just pull up that, that scout from January and you're playing them again in February and you got all that stuff there. And you probably have notes that you took, post game or whatnot too. So, makes that stuff super easy. I guess, you know, with the attention spans these days, you want to keep it short and sweet. The other thing I should mention is what we've been excited about was Fast Scout went to mobile this year for our first time. So we got that built, and coaches are really liking it. And what that means by mobile is there, you don't have to print those papers off anymore if you don't want to, save some trees, but also reach these kids on their phones or their tablet with the Fast Scout app. So that helps a lot. I know coaches say there's just more adoption that way, and you know, that's what kids are using. That's what everyone's using.
Yeah, we've talked to a lot of coaches who have mentioned the idea of just how easy it is now for, yeah, like you can pull up and share clips and go through your film session in the locker room or in your film room with your team. But the reality is that you can also give players access to whatever, the entire library mm-hmm. of an opponent's games and of your own games. And so obviously there's kids out there who love watching film. And so they're probably watching a game, two games of their previous opponent, just sitting there on their phone, or they're going through. And I love the idea of being able to keep your notes all in one place. I think if you think back in time, sort of pre-smartphone, pre-technology, mm-hmm. you know, most coaches, what did they have? How did they keep all their information? And most of the coaches that I grew up around had a three-ring binder. You know what I mean? I mean, that's where, you know, oh, I see this. Let me three-hole punch that and stick it in my binder. And I know that I worked with a couple of coaches that they literally had file cabinets full of three-ring binders with Xerox copies of plays and clinic notes and all this stuff that you look back on it, you're like, how did you even, you know, once you put that in the three-ring binder, did you ever see it again? And now with the technology and with what Fast Model can do and having all that stuff so accessible and making it so easy, it's just, I think it's incredible. It would be interesting to see somebody, you're probably just on the cusp of it, but let's say somebody who right now is 22, 23 years old, starting their career as a college coach, and they're in the video room. If we were to go back and tell them what it was like when I was playing from 1998 and 1988 to 1992 college basketball, what watching video meant. I mean, I still think about our coach standing in front of us in the locker room with the remote control and the VHS tape, and you'd want to see a particular play. And so you'd hit rewind, and then that rewind would go a minute and a half backwards, and you'd end up watching. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just the inefficiency of that. And then, like I said, the three-ring binders and the photocopies and all this stuff, comparatively to what the technology can do today, it's incredible.
No doubt. And I mentioned this guy earlier, but Jeff Rutter, he's an assistant at Miami, Ohio right now. He's the king of that, man. He loves his yellow legal pads and just an extreme note taker. But that's the way it's done, man. And some of these guys, you know, can't teach an old dog new tricks, but I had to help him change his iCloud password probably three or four times in a couple years on staff together too. But man, it's come a long ways, that's for sure.
That's what the young guys on a staff are for.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm grateful that I, you know, was able to go through some of that stuff and learn a lot of that. And here I am. But I got to make sure these listeners are paying attention now. I got to tell a good story that I was reminded of when I was listening to one of your other podcasts. And, you know, you guys have the Dr. Dish partnership. And I was remembering, man, one of my jobs at Iowa, though, the shooting machine was broken. It was busted. And who else is going to go fix it but, you know, the video guy on staff. So I was just remembering once I heard that ad read, I was like, man, I was in there probably for like a good week where I had this thing taken apart. And I'm not the handiest guy. I mentioned my dad grew up on a farm, but I didn't get too much of that, the handiness. But I'm using screwdrivers. I'm taking this thing apart. I'm in customer support with the company, and they're sending me, sending me new parts and stuff. I got to put it in like a new battery or something. And it was crazy, man. But those are some of those jobs, and everyone's got stories like that, you know, no matter what level you are. But,
what's the craziest thing you ever had to do?
Man, I mean, that's one of them. I mentioned going to Impact, like literally my first day out there, like I landed and, I get a rental car or bus to the gym, and I'm meeting the guys, and I'm the new intern. Hey guys. And I'm like, I'm ready to get on the court. Like, let's lace them up, you know, trying to show them I'm ready to roll. And they were like, hey, yeah, actually, our washing machine's busted and we got to get this new one. Can you move it out of there? And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, we got to, like, there's a dolly, you know, unplug the stuff. Let's go ahead and move it out. I'm like, all right, you know, you got to do the job, man. You got to get it done. And it's just funny because, you know, my dad's in real estate back in Iowa City, and we're always doing stuff like that, you know, for his rental properties and stuff. So I've moved a bunch of that stuff and actually had a little bit of experience with it, so it worked out. But I was just like, man, I got my first kind of gig away from home. I want to do basketball. I'm ready to go. And they asked me to do something like I'm pretty much doing most summers, you know?
Yep. That's funny.
But it is funny, though. You look back, like, you know, unloading the bus, you know, when it's 0 degrees here back in Iowa or somewhere at 2 a.m. when you land after playing in Penn State or somewhere. Like, that stuff stinks at the time. But you look back and you kind of laugh with the guys and the staff members of doing some of those things.
All right, going along with that, give people an idea of what your working hours were like while you're at the University of Iowa as the assistant video coordinator. What does that look like? How many hours a day are you spending on average in the office?
It's long, man. It is long. You know, can't even lie about that. You're getting in there. You want to try to be the first one in, and you want to try to normally be the last one out because you're trying to work your way up the ladder. You know, you haven't earned your stripes yet. And that's a saying I'll never forget, you know, a coach telling me. And you learn it's not a 9-to-5, and something about the business that is just the way it is, right? You know, it's a fun job to have, but it's not for everybody. And some people do it for a while and realize it's not their thing. But you know, you gotta kind of love that grind and embrace it and like the people you're around and you know. Practice at the college level, you know, those guys have classes, so you're not doing practice probably before 3 or 4 o'clock at the earliest. And the other thing about it, I was going to mention this too, was with the technology, I can't imagine the scouting aspect of like trading film. Like, what was that even like back in the day? Because now, luckily, it's all digitally, and, you know, plus with the TV broadcast, it's all kind of available through those things, even if you don't upload what we call like a camera copy, like someone just taping it from the top level of the gym. So, you know, you finish your game. I'm probably going to go in there and figure out who our next opponent is that also played that night and make sure I'm downloading their video overnight, getting it ready for the coaches at 8 a.m. the next morning. You know what I'm saying? So, How did that even work, you know, trading VHSs back in the day?
That was getting in the car and driving to FedEx, driving to UPS, driving to the post office. I mean, I've talked to numerous coaches, and I remember our coaches at Kent just, you know, your next opponent, you'd be like, all right, we got to get some film on Eastern Michigan. And so you'd drive and you'd coordinate, you'd put it in the mail, and you'd hope to connect with somebody, or if you were close enough, you might even drive and meet somebody somewhere and exchange video. And I mean, it's just, when you think about that, it really is literally insane the way that we can do things completely on demand, anytime, anywhere now. And I think what it makes you wonder, and this is, I think, probably an interesting piece of what you're doing now, is it's interesting to think about what are the next innovations that are coming? Because you look at the difference between what film looked like in 1988 compared to what film looks like in 2021, and it's completely different. And yet you wonder, like, okay, we're already doing all the things that we can do today. What's next? What's the next frontier? And you probably have a better idea of what that next frontier is than me, but I just am amazed by the progress that has been made over the last 30 years. And it's kind of mind blowing to think about what the next 30 years might bring.
Who knows, man? Who knows? I mean, that, you can talk about society in general with that, but
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're working on the best stuff we can at Fast Model. But man, this, even just with this, the Zoom stuff now and the fact that I can talk to you guys and do this is pretty wild. But I think everyone's adopting to the digital stuff this year more than ever. And, you know, that's only a positive for coaches. And I'm just happy that, this next generation will be exciting to see what they come out with and what they bring to the coaching world, because, you know, and you probably played for guys like this, but like, you know, coaching back in the day, man, it was just, you roll the balls out and go. And, there wasn't, you know what I'm trying to say, but the, you know, it was just a different business, you know?
It really was. I mean, the coaching fraternity has definitely changed. I think one of the things that the technology has done is it's just made people more open in terms of sharing what they do. I think you go back 20 years and coaches were far more, I don't know if secretive is the right word, but they were much less likely to share their offensive system, or they were much more likely to share how they built their culture or built their program, because at that point it was still theoretically possible to kind of keep that shielded from the public eye and kind of keep it to yourself. Whereas now, I mean, there's nothing, I mean, what can you possibly keep secret? I mean, every game you play is filmed and instantly available to every other coach in the country. So how are you going to hoard your offensive system and say, oh, I'm not going to share what we do, because anybody who wants to see it can go and watch your entire season on video on demand. And so I think that what that's done is it's just made coaches more willing to share. And then along with that willingness, it's now just so much easier to share what you know with other coaches. And I think that's one of the biggest difference that I've seen in the last 5 to 10 years is just the willingness of coaches to share what they do with other coaches. And I don't know if you, I'm sure you're seeing some of that with what you do at Fast Model.
100%. And yeah, I got to the company about 5 years ago, and my one step here in between was at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. So I went and was a graduate assistant there after doing the video thing at Iowa for a year. And that's when I started realizing, you know, talking about earlier, sort of where my strengths were and what I liked and didn't like. And I never saw myself as being a recruiter. I never saw myself going to maybe a smaller college and working my way up that way. And I liked the tech stuff that I did. I liked kind of being behind the scenes guy, and just getting to know some of these guys from Fast Model, through the support lines and sales stuff and through, you know, going to the Final Fours and networking. It was just a great opportunity. And to tie that together, you know, I saw this direction that they were going, not only just, you know, selling the software, but really just investing in coaches. And it's something that I probably could have benefited from a few years earlier, you know, having some of those channels open and ways to learn about the game and develop myself. So I was really excited about that. And and what we're doing as a company is just really trying to just grow the game and share the game. And what you are talking about, this trend of coaches wanting to do that, is awesome. And it makes my job really easy. You know, we are really lucky, and I'm grateful to have built this community that we have. You know, we call it the Fast Model family, and, you know, coaches on Twitter, they're such a great network there. And yeah, it's just wanting to share and wanting to help each other and get better, right? Not just do your own thing and put your head down and go, but, you know, learn from each other and use all these channels that we have. And, you know, the tech piece is awesome. And what, another thing I want to kind of talk to you about a little bit, I'm curious your perspective, Mike, is the coaches as content creators, right? YouTube's out there and our play bank and these places where coaches can sort of create and test things out and try stuff. And I'm just curious to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no doubt that coaches will share, are sharing far more of that stuff than they ever have. And I think social media is probably the start of that, where a coach can, and I don't even want to say become an influencer, because I'm not sure that that's why coaches are sharing things. I think coaches just generally, if they have something that is working that they like, and it's just people love the game of basketball, and coaches want to share the game and they want to make the game better. And I think that's always been the case. But like I said, 20 years ago, it was just easier to keep things hidden. And now, even if you wanted to keep things hidden, it's impossible. And so I think coaches have embraced that, and instead they've gone completely the other direction, where they're basically like, look, I'm an open book. And there's some coaches who have embraced the technology side of it, and they love getting in and digging into the film or digging into play diagramming and putting those things together. And whether that's with the play bank that you guys have at Fast Model, whether that's on Twitter, whatever it is, I mean, we all know that there are great coaches out there that are sharing stuff that can help any coach to become a better coach. Maybe you're just looking for a brand new sideline out of bounds play, or maybe you're looking to put in a whole new continuity offense, or maybe you're looking for something that, you know, you can build your culture around. Well, all those things are out there. And I think it's a credit to the coaching profession how willing people are to share. So to go along with that, just tell people about the Fast Model Play Bank, what that is, how you guys got it started, and how coaches can take advantage of the information that's in there.
For sure. It's a huge part of my job, and something we've grown for years now. I want to say there's, I think we're getting close to almost 10,000 plays. I think it's 9,000 something. But what that is we, you know, we've identified some people and some power users of FastDraw over the years that want to help and contribute and grow the game like we're talking about. And they're just guys that are out here watching, you know, every night and soaking things up. So my job as content manager, I'm just kind of working with these guys that are our contributors and publishing plays for them. And it's just a really, first of all, easy way to utilize our product and kind of get that on the web and have coaches kind of maybe dip their toes in starting there. So even if you don't have FastDraw, you can access the play bank, you can look at it. You can even download the images and stuff. But of course, if you do have the product, it just only makes it easier. You can download them straight into your library, and you're ready to go. And you can customize from there even if you want to. You know, if you see a play from Kansas Jayhawks that you like, but you know, maybe you don't have quite the same personnel as they do, maybe tweak something in it from there. So it doesn't have to be exactly, but it's just really been a fun resource and invaluable for us and hopefully for the coaching community out there.
All right. So let's go through each of your four main products and just give us an idea for maybe a coach who, for whatever reason, isn't familiar with what you guys do. And just tell us a little bit about what each one of the tools will allow a coach to do and how it can improve what that coach already does. So let's start with FastDraw.
You bet. Drawing plays. That's about as simple as it is.
Pretty
now,
simple, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you take those hand-drawn stuff that we're talking about and those binders and stuff. That's what it is, a digital binder. We like to call your digital playbook. So, and that has a lot more benefits too, because whereas a binder, you know, you're going to be flipping through and trying to find the play you want, or what was that play we ran versus, Lincoln Park High School in 2008, you know, you can just search for that in FastDraw and you can find it right away. And things are tagged really easily, you know, by team, by year, series, you know, action, anything like that. I mean, it's really intuitive. So that's essentially it. I mean, you have your library, you have your editor where you can draw plays from scratch and customize ones that you download. And then there's a playbook builder as well, where you can just combine all that into anything you want, if it's a motion playbook or, you know, defense, which is something I probably don't talk about enough. I mean, I'm pretty, sometimes I get focused on the offensive side of the game. It's kind of what I like and what a lot of these contributors and you know, coaches that we have in our network are doing. But, man, defense, drills, putting together a video actually right now for a YouTube channel about the top drills of 2020. So I actually went through and just pulled data of the most downloaded drills and putting that out. So that's a huge piece of it too, because coaches are looking for all that. If it's rebounding, if it's, you know, 1v1 drills or 3v3 small-sided games. So that's kind of the fast draw pitch in a nutshell. I mean, once you've used it, I don't know why you'd want to go back to anything else. And that's, I think, what most coaches feel as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it makes it so much simpler when you think about pulling out a piece of paper and trying to draw and go from this to that versus just once you become comfortable with the digital platform, it becomes so much easier. And then to think about coaches, again, who in the past had that giant three-ring binder or 20 giant three-ring binders, and that's all replaced by something that you can carry around in your pocket that we all have with us every day, whether you're doing it on your phone or you're doing it on the laptop or whatever. It just makes it so much easier to be able to have access to it. And not only, I think the one thing that two coaches have always struggled with is, you know, you find something that you like and maybe you don't implement it right away. Maybe it's something that you file away and you say, I want to come back to that, because maybe you discover in the middle of the season, you're like, I'm not going to add it right now, but this is something that I want to consider. Mm-hmm. I think those are things that very, very easily, when you just write them down on a piece of paper, those things disappear very, very quickly. And sometimes you never come back to them. And I think by digitizing that process with FastDraw, I think that gives you a huge advantage as a coach.
Yeah, that's a great point. And what I, two other things I should mention about it is, there's a fast trade feature too. So if you want to go send Jason a play that you either drew up or maybe you got from the play bank or someone else, yeah, you can trade right in there. And if they have the program, great, it goes right to them. Even if they don't, you can still like send them an email with that play. So that's cool. And then the iPad is something that coaches really like too. You know, it's whether you're watching, you know, from your couch, or maybe you in the past, if you're attending a game or scouting, you can just draw stuff up on an iPad. It's pretty intuitive as well. So those are just a couple other features I want to talk about.
All right, get us into Fast Scout.
Fast Scout. Really, the customization is the biggest part. I was talking about how coaches can really make it as complicated as they want, but what you're going to do is you're going to click on New Scout. Now, if you're at the NBA or college level, again, we're going to have all the information in there for you. So if you're playing the Chicago Bulls, you know, next week, you create a scout, it's going to upload their whole roster, upload all their current statistics and everything like that. If you're at the high school level, unfortunately, it's a manual process for now. Hopefully in the future, as this these statistics become more available and the data is out there, something we can get in the future. It's happening actually for the D2, D3 NAIA levels in the last few years. So that's been exciting. And coaches really like that automation, but again, it's not too hard to just type the info in that you want. But yeah, whether you're concerned with personnel and you want to do just a quick one-page personnel report, great. You can do personnel, add in a couple pages of whatever other stats you want. Obviously, people are wanting to know points per game, and your traditional box scores type stuff can go in. But customizable is the biggest word I use a lot, and I kind of just come back to that crutch because it really is just what you want to make it. Shot charts are something that we have new for this year for those top levels, the NBA and NCAA. And yeah, hopefully adding some more stuff in the future as we're always trying to innovate and trying to figure out what coaches want.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off. What are some things analytic-wise that you find to be interesting in the game today? Is there any trends or things that you're noticing through, whether it's through the software, whether it's through the statistics, whether it's through conversations that you have with coaches? Are there any analytical things that are out there that you find interesting that are having an impact on the game?
Man, there's people smarter than me that you can probably ask that question to. But and like I said before, you know, I'm not on that coaching side anymore. I haven't been in a while, and I do my best to talk to coaches, you know, every day that I'm working with them here, to figure out, you know, what is happening, what are the trends. So that's a roundabout answer of I'm not sure. Now, what we've been experimenting with a lot is these four factors that some people have heard of, and those are available at the top levels. So you might even have to remind me what those are, but it's rebounding, turnover percentage, and I think it's just field goal and maybe defensive field goal.
That's Randy Sherman, right? I know Randy always is talking about those four factors for sure.
Yeah, and he's a good friend of Team Fastmile as well. So
absolutely,
been contributing for a long time. And if people haven't checked out his stuff, find him on Twitter. Find his Playbank page on our site too, because you can literally find hundreds.
He does a great job.
Drills and offenses and all kinds of stuff.
So I'm pulling up his four factors to make sure that we're accurate. So he has his four factors are effective field goal percentage. High school boys, he says, get it above 50%. Turnover percentage, try to be below 20%. Offensive rebounding percentage, try to get it above 33%. And the last one is free throw rate. So those are his four factors that he feels have the biggest impact on winning. And those came from Dean Oliver. He wrote a book, Basketball on Paper, so that's where those came from. But I knew I had seen it. I knew Randy was the first one that made me aware of it. Just I can't remember if it was through our conversation on the podcast or whether just me kind of looking through in preparation, looking at his blog or, you know, whatever, and finding it at that point. So, yeah, it's interesting just how, again, statistically, you think about how different things were 20 or 30 years ago when none of this, you know, none of these advanced stats existed. And basically, you were just looking at, you know, points, rebounds, and assists for players. And then, you know, maybe you were calculating points per game or, you know, on an offensive or defensive standpoint, but you certainly weren't getting into all the depth of statistics that coaches can get into today.
Yeah, no, that's good research there by you. Quick work. Yeah, I mean, it's score more points than their team, right?
Let's simplify it, right?
It's a joke, but like at the same time, you know, you can get as complicated as you want, but I do understand, you know, digging into all that stuff and certainly am an advocate for that because that it all plays a part in scoring more points than them. But it is funny, man. It's this business. You can really have different philosophies on how to do that, you know, and decide if you want to dive into all that stuff and use the technology available or, you know, focus on the player development piece, right? Because if you just make your players better, like that helps you score points too and stop Absolutely. Them from scoring points and recruiting, right? Just recruit better players and sign them, then that helps too. So it's all related. And you just got to figure out what your style is and what you believe in.
No question about that. All right, next, Fast Recruit.
That's been an exciting one the last, man, 4 or 5 years. I think it was new the first year I started the company. So that one is really geared towards that summer recruiting period. At least it definitely was in the early years. I mean, you can tell me how familiar you are with the whole circuit. You know, it's you're going to Vegas, you're going to Peach Jam and all these different places trying to track these guys. And it really combines everything coaches need to know as far as players and teams and like literally what court they're going to be playing on in those giant complexes to figure that out and at what time, even down to like giving you directions to the gym, right? Because if you're in Vegas and you're going from Sierra Canyon High School over to Bishop Gorman, like you're Fran McCaffrey, you need to figure out where you're going. And luckily there's a map feature right in there that just takes you between those gyms. So keep you on schedule, take your notes of players that you're watching, communicate with them. It's kind of like a CRM almost for
gotcha. For so coaches, you guys are building relationships with AAU organizations and team and tournament organizers then in order to be able to populate the information that coaches need.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. So we did a lot of work early on to build those relationships, like you said, and really be sort of partners with everybody because it works both ways. Coaches want to go to the event if they know that their app and the service they're paying for from us is going to work there as well. So it's been a win-win all around, and it's a product that's continuing to evolve. This year didn't have the same recruiting window as normal year, and then even not that I should limit it to the summer either. I mean, it's all year long. You can track the high school games and stuff too, and get schedules that way as well.
Yeah, recruiting never ends, I'm sure. Mm-hmm, if you're a college coach, that is that's a constant battle. If you're in a non-contact period, then I'm sure you're continuing to watch and observe and try to figure out again who's next on the radar. So, all right, Fast Access.
So Fast Access was born out of that CRM idea as well, and sort of extending that to an athletic department. And it really is focused on the development side, and that's like the donor and alumni and things like that. And there's some really great schools that have jumped on board with that just in the couple of years that it's existed. And using our video recording capabilities and the messaging and that CRM stuff, a development office at a school can keep track of the messages they're sending to donors and keeping them informed with, either video clips of maybe the team if they're interested in the men's basketball, women's basketball, or whatever sport they're interested in supporting, and just keeping that relationship. So it's kind of extending that kind of some of what Fast Recruit is to that side of things and just helping the business grow that way because, when you're talking business, there's only a finite number of NBA, NCAA, high school teams out there. Now, there's still a lot of high school teams we'd love to get on board, but, just trying to grow the business in that other sense.
Absolutely. All right. So all that being said, your title is content manager. Give us an idea of what your day-to-day looks like. What is it that you're doing when you go into the office? Well, now you're probably not going to the office, but when you go into work, what does it look like? What is it that you're doing? Who are you in touch with? Who are you in contact with? What is it that you try to accomplish day in and day out?
I am lucky because I get to talk to coaches most of the day, and a lot of it's digitally. Unlucky, but one of the first things I do is probably log on to Twitter. Usually I'm checking, I'm checking notifications from the night before or, in the morning, who's engaging with our staff and if anyone's tagged us and stuff. Cause we've talked a lot about just grow the game, share the game, kind of some catchphrases that we use. And the nice thing about Twitter and social media in general and the relationship to Fastro is, we got these great, beautiful diagrams, right? And they're usually square, and they fit really nicely to just post to some of those things. So, you know, whether I'm posting them, which is a lot of what our content is, just trying to get that stuff out there, or other coaches are doing it. They're exporting their diagrams and taking them from the play bank or other people they've seen and just putting them up there, right? So people tag us, I'll throw them a retweet. That's what we're all about, you know, sharing the game. And yeah, that's one of the first things I do. Kind of the main pieces really are Twitter, the play bank, the blog. Haven't talked much about that, but always trying to, you know, follow up on the trends that are happening, and either, you know, X's and O's trends, of course, even if it's scouting, but also like some of that leadership stuff, or, you know, just coaching philosophy in general too. So I was looking to get stuff out there, and I'm writing a lot of those myself. Having guys like Randy Sherman that you mentioned, or Tony Miller, who's a really good contributor as well. You know, they'll write some stuff for us, you know, something they're passionate about or that they've seen. And I know you had Tony on one of your podcast networks recently.
Yeah, Tony was on with our Beyond the Ball guys. He was on with Justin and Eric. His episode just went up, I believe, last Wednesday. So if anybody's out there, if you haven't had a chance to listen to Tony Miller on the Beyond the Ball podcast, you can find that again wherever you can find your podcast. But I know that was a really good episode. It's got quite a bit of traction for that pod that's part of our network. So yeah, for sure, if you have a chance to go and listen to that, please do. And then of course, Tony has his own podcast, the Quick Time Out podcast. So give that a listen as well.
Yep, big time. Big time guy. I don't know how he does it all, honestly. and I wanted him to write a post for us about that. I was like, dude, you need to write about like your time management and like your efficiency in your day, because he runs a podcast, he sends stuff to us, he coaches the team, he is a professor in the sport management school at the university. He just had a third kid. Like, I'm like, dude, how do you have time? Do you not sleep? So, and he was like, no, that's not interesting. I was like, well, then just tell me your secret, because I want to know personally just like how you do it all. Yeah. But no, really, really good guy. And he's even been a mentor to me just, you know, with this stuff. And he's paying attention to the game and the business. And obviously, like you said, teaching sport management. So kind of that whole this industry and these career paths. Yeah, he's been a good dude. But he's written some really good posts. If anyone looks in his archives on our site, because he's into analytics and has studied different things that his team's done at Bob Jones University and studied some other teams as well. So we've gotten some in-depth stuff from him. The last main piece of what I do too is put together our emails. I know a lot of coaches subscribe to our Plays of the Week email. So I'm kind of picking out the best things I've seen that week and putting them into a nice package there for coaches just to check out and download. And then what I've been excited about recently is our YouTube channel. And I know there's just a lot of room for growth there. Just coaches are on that platform. I probably should have invested in that a couple years ago. So, you know, got a couple series coming up that are going to be really interesting, I think, and do some conversations with coaches, some behind the scenes, you know, inside the library type of thing with Fast Draw, Fast Scout, going into those programs and just, again, seeing what works for different coaches, because everyone's style is a little different. And, you know, your scouting report might look totally different from Jason's or Tony's or Randy's. So that should be fun. I'm just excited about YouTube and using that technology, especially as we're all apart right now, and just being able to kind of zoom in with coaches.
Yeah, there's no doubt that it is really interesting to see different coaches' approach to the game, whether it's just in terms of the different offensive styles teams play or the different defensive styles or the way coaches approach building culture and all those kinds of things. It's just really been, that's one of the things that Jason and I have loved about the podcast, is getting an opportunity to talk to coaches from all across the country, coaches at all different levels of the game, and how they each approach it, and they bring their own personality and their own philosophy to what they do. And you've said it a couple of times that everybody doesn't everybody does it differently. There is no one right way or wrong way to do things. Everybody can kind of put their own unique spin on it. And I think you see that when you go and you engage with, whether it's your content on Twitter or it's whether it's on the YouTube channel or wherever it may be, you just see the creativity of coaches that are out there. Now, you were talking about all those different platforms that you guys are on. When you go on and you're looking at the engagement that you get from coaches, is there a type of post or video that gets more engagement than others? Like, for example, if you're posting baseline out of bounds plays, do those get significantly more views or interest than, I don't know, half court defensive traps or whatever? Is there any trend that you guys see of posts that get more engagement when you put them out there, or is it kind of just generally across the board, it's pretty even?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty even. What I will say is the diagrams, they just crush, man. That's what coaches like. And we're lucky that that's the case, you know, with Vestra. And I just mentioned how easy that stuff is to share. And it's just made for Twitter, especially. So coaches love that stuff. They like them and retweet them and all that, you know, and I'll put our blogs up and hope coaches are clicking them and reading them. And depending on those, you know, the topic, they may or not. I mean, I just put up a blog the other day of some of the Jazz, Utah Jazz ATO stuff from Clint Snyder. You know, they're in first place right now, playing really well. Contributor actually Kostas Kalogaropoulos from Greece sent in a bunch of their plays. So he was studying their ATOs. But, yeah, coaches like those ATOs, like those quick hitters, like you said, stuff that you can just kind of like, you grab them, you file them away. You might not throw it in, you know, right away to your playbook or that week or whatever in practice, but you can kind of favorite those. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, the funny thing, too, is about this content creation stuff, and you know that as a podcaster and running this content business you got, but you can plan all you want, and sometimes that's great. But like sometimes winging it works too. And I think one of the best engagement things I had in a while was a couple Sundays ago. I was like, I think I was doing a power walk or something, and listened to someone's podcast, and it gave me an idea. And I was like, do coaches force middle, or do they force baseline? Or you know, I should say most coaches usually force baseline, but I was like, I wonder like what the percentage actually is. And I literally tweeted, like, it was like seven words. I just said, defense debate, no middle or no baseline. And like so many coaches were commenting and retweeting, and it was great. And that's what this whole thing's all about, you know? And
right.
And to get back to the, it's like, we're not even talking about our products there, our software, our making sales or whatever. Like we're just, you know, hosting this conversation, this debate for coaches to have. And we're lucky that, too, that, you know, everyone understands, like, no one's right or wrong, but, like, there's philosophies both ways. You know, some coaches, in that example, love the force baseline because it's another defender. Some coaches said forcing middle. While there wasn't as many of them, the ones that said it were like, we force middle, and that's what we teach because we have help there and we know it, and we're all on the same page about it. So you see how it totally makes sense. So, anyways, my point on that one was like, that just popped in my head. I sent it out and it did better than anything I could have planned for months at a time. You know what I'm saying?
No, that makes complete sense. I think that's one of the things that if you are in the content creation business, I think you're always searching for that holy grail of what is going to get you more engagement with your followers, your listeners, your users. And it's never easy. And I think the other thing that I'm sure you found is that it's always evolving in terms of what people are looking for, how the algorithms on social media work in terms of getting stuff in front of certain audiences and certain people. And I know I can speak for myself, at least, that I try lots of different things and I'm never sure if what I'm doing is 100% correct or 100% incorrect, but you just kind of keep trying things. And as you said, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you plan, but in many cases, sometimes it's just that spontaneous conversation that you can generate with people that is really how you get engagement. And that's how you get people to become a part of your platform. Or whether that's for you guys, that's them jumping on and looking at the play bank, whether that's actually jumping on and getting a subscription to one of your paid services, or for us, whether that's somebody listening to the podcast, or whether it's somebody going in and checking out the website, or whatever it might be. I think we're all always searching for how do we engage with the audience that we're here to serve. And I think ultimately what you guys are doing is you're putting out a product that can help coaches to do what they do and help them to do it better. And when I think about the coaching profession, and I think about the people that we've been able to have on the show as guests, whether they be coaches themselves or whether they be people who, like you, work for companies that are trying to help players and coaches become better, I think it's all done for the good of the game of basketball. And that's what's really exciting to me. And I'm sure that's one of the things that you love the most about your job. So we're coming up close to an hour and 15 minutes. I want to give you a chance, Robbie, to share a couple things, where people can find out more about Fast Model, how they can get in and purchase it and do that. But before you do that, I want you to just give me the answer to this one question. It's a two-parter. And that is, when you look ahead, what's your biggest challenge, both as an individual and as a company moving forward? And then two, what's your biggest joy when you get out of bed in the morning?
All right. Awesome questions there. Challenge as an individual and as a company, I'm going to just kind of link this into the last piece of what you said too, was I just really think my whole strategy of running content for Fast Model is just being authentic. And, you know, that's not a mind-blowing strategy, but that's really what it is. And we don't try to be, you know, super salesy with this stuff. Like, we believe in it, and we know coaches are going to benefit from it. And that's why I'm grateful to do what I do. And like I mentioned, I like my role being behind the scenes here and working with coaches in this way. It's just where my journey took me, and this is definitely what I should be doing in this business. And I think the challenge is just to maintain that authenticity. You know, the game is going to evolve, the business is going to evolve, but try to be on the forefront of those trends and stuff as they happen. Now, as a tech company, there's definitely that aspect of it, but just in general, there's still a lot this game can grow, and it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. So that takes care of that one. What gets me out of bed, man, it's going to be the relationships, for sure. And, you know, we both name drop a lot of people today, and I'm just grateful again for getting to know these people through this game. So that's it. And I'm glad to connect with you, and you guys have been a great partner to work with here over the last few months, you know, and we're happy to support the podcast. So I know we'll stay in touch, and I'm excited to do that. And man, that time goes quick. And I definitely want to get more. I want to know more about, like, you know, your offensive strategies and defensive philosophy and stuff as a coach, and how you work with players too. And we didn't even get to that.
We can definitely talk too much. That sounds like an invite for a second podcast, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I definitely think that we can, we can do that. Who knows? Maybe we can make it a monthly thing or something like that. And you're right when you said the time goes fast. I've said this a few times, but I'll be doing an interview like we're doing tonight, and I have the time kind of sitting here in front of me, and most of the time I'm not even looking at it. And then all of a sudden I'll look up and I'll be at like an hour and 5 minutes, and it felt like the conversation just started. And I think that's one of the things that I've really enjoyed about the whole process of podcasting, is just the ability to talk with people who, under ordinary circumstances, you'd never get a chance to connect. And you mentioned how the technology kind of shrinks the world and allows you to interact with people that you might not have ordinarily interacted with, and do it in an easy way. And this podcast is a living testament to that, when I look at the people that we've been able to have on and that I've been able to have conversations with, it's just been a blessing to be able to talk and share the basketball world and to try to make it a better place for all of us. And so I'm thankful to you. I'm thankful to Fast Model for partnering up with us. And it's been a great relationship to this point, and I think it's going to continue. And I think we're going to be able to help one another's brands continue to grow and have a positive influence on the coaching profession, which to me is really what it's all about. So before we wrap up, Robbie, one more time, share where people can find out more about the products. Just give the website, the social media, where they can follow all the stuff that we've talked about, and then I'll jump back in and wrap things up.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Well said. Yeah, you can find us just fastmodelsports.com. You can kind of get to everything from there. That's the main website, but that'll get you to the blog, get you to the playbank. The links at the top of the page. We're on Twitter at fastmodel. So super easy there. And then, like I mentioned, the YouTube is something I'm pretty excited about. We got some Chalk Talk series and things going on there. So that's just Fast Model Sports on YouTube. Anyone can connect with me, just Robbie@fastmodelsports.com. Like I said, all about the relationships. Want to help coaches. If you're interested in contributing to the playbank or anything, just hit me up. I'm always there.
Robbie, great stuff tonight. It's been a lot of fun getting to know you and giving you an opportunity to share all the great products that you guys have and the great resources for coaches. So hopefully our audience of coaches out there picked up some things. I'll use the word that we shared at the beginning. Hopefully they picked up some nuggets that can help them improve their coaching. And to everyone out there that's part of our audience, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.